Tonight's Celebrity Apprentice premiere recap is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, wholesome snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support the podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/RHAP. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's about to drag you down into the vortex with Geraldo. I'm Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our first ever live, I believe it's the first ever live coverage we're ever doing of The Celebrity Apprentice here on a Google Hangout. And we are live here on Sunday night. And here I am with our chief NBC reality correspondent. Here he is. He'll be recapping The Celebrity Apprentice with me all season. Here is the one and only. Give it up for Mr. Mike Bloom.
Happy 2015.
Happy 2015 to you too, Mike Bloom. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great, and I'm happy to start off 2015 by talking about a show that's been filmed early 2014.
Yes. Oh, my God. So much. The world is different now since they filmed that, especially for Bill Cosby, of all people.
Yeah, this is like a time capsule looking back into what the world was like in spring 2014.
Yes, if we only knew then what we know now. But so much to talk about here on our live coverage. It's a two-night Celebrity Apprentice premiere. And we are live here tonight. We are talking about what may come tomorrow night. So more on that as we go along here. Thank you guys for staying up late with us who are watching live here in the chat room. We are going to take your questions here on this interactive show, talking about the 2-hour premiere of The Celebrity Apprentice, season 14, I believe, Mike.
I think it's season 14 or just Celebrity Apprentice season 7, we'll call it, just to make sure that our numbers are straight.
All right, sure. We'll go with that. Anyway, so a lot to talk about here on the first episode of Celebrity Apprentice. Glad to have you guys with us, whether you're listening live or on the podcast version sometime after the fact. Of course, you can get your questions in on this live version of the show by either posting in the chat room or on our Twitter page or on Twitter, hashtag RHAP. Also, by posting on the live video, which is you're watching right now at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, this is the first of our many Celebrity Apprentice podcasts down the stretch here in January, or Jamuary, if you will, here on Rob as a Podcast. And we want to have you on board for all of them. Make sure you're subscribed to Rob as a Podcast. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right, Mike, Apprentice is back. What's your initial thoughts? Who is your star? Who is your star tonight, Mike?
Who is your weakest player? I mean, Celebrity Apprentice, I've gone forward to say that this is a show where I don't think there's ever a single non-entertaining episode, which is extremely hard to come by in TV, let alone reality TV in general. That being said, the premieres are never usually the most outstanding episodes of the entire season, just because they have a lot to cram in there, and it's usually the same type of task. That being said, still really enjoyed this. I think, as we'll talk about this, I think there are some people that surprised us. I think there may have been a couple people that disappointed us in the way things were edited. But overall, a lot of different storylines, a lot of different fun things to pull from. So I enjoyed it overall.
Did you find that there were too many overpowering flavors fighting each other?
Yeah, it was. I could definitely equate it to like an enchilada pie of editing storylines.
That sounded terrible to me, I have to say.
I'm just glad they didn't go with taco pie. Taco pie sounds like the most Inuit-laden food I've heard since like Spotted Dick.
Oh my God. All right. So a lot to get to as we break down everything. I mean, what do you want to do? You want to talk initial reactions to the cast? I guess let's not bury the lead. Let's just talk real quick about the departure of one Keisha Knight Pulliam. Gone too soon. Rudy.
She really is the Francesca Hoagie of this, of like reality, celebrity reality TV shows. Cause I don't think there's been a show where she's lasted more than 3 weeks.
Why? What else has she been on?
She was on Celebrity Mole, and I think she was out like third. She was on that reality show Splash, where she finished behind like Louis Anderson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And she was on she's on Fear Factor. She was on a couple of things, but I don't think she's ever been able to do well at all. And it's clear from the tears streaming down her face that Celebrity Apprentice was not her forte.
All right, so is it true, one, that she said earlier in the episode in one of the deleted scenes that she would eat a rock pie if she was the first person fired?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, a rock pie, as long as the crust isn't burnt, I think the chef would really enjoy that. And that could have gotten them an extra $15,000.
All right. And of course, the big story tonight, the potentially estranged relationship between Keisha Knight Pulliam and Mr. Bill Cosby. I want to play a clip from the show tonight. This was what she had to say about Bill Cosby from the episode. Here is her take on Bill Cosby, which it sounded like it was a positive relationship.
From the days on The Cosby Show and having that great example with Mr. Cosby, the importance of philanthropy and giving back to others has been a part of my life for forever.
Yes. If there's one takeaway that you get from Bill Cosby, it's philanthropy and taking care of others, right?
Exactly. Treating others with the utmost respect. I'm just surprised throughout the episode until like three quarters of the way through, they never called him Bill Cosby. They always called him Mr. Cosby,
if you will. Please.
As if he's like knighted or something, like Sir Cosby.
Sir Bill Cosby. Because as we know, Bill Cosby never writes checks to women. That is not something that he ever does. He does not ever send women money after the fact for many, many years to keep them quiet or anything like that.
Absolutely not. I would have not been surprised if Keisha ended up calling Bill Cosby to get money, and this seedy guy just came in with like $10,000 in cash. Unmarked bills, just like, here you go, and then walks out.
Yeah. All right, so Keisha is gone. Were you sad to see her go?
It's interesting. I think even though she only lasted one episode, I think she did better than I thought she would. She was surprisingly very well-spoken. We haven't really seen that side of her in the various reality shows she's competed in, and I think she definitely held her own against stars like Kate Gosselin and... Now I feel so bad, Jamie Anderson.
Yeah.
So I mean, I felt like it was tough, because considering that we'll talk more about the boardroom, but in the first half they were emphasizing so much about like how much money did you bring in, but once she brings in the two people that brought in the least amount of money, they suddenly turn around on her and they're like, well, now you're setting an example by bringing in two people with the least amount of money that you care about the money. Like, it's perfect Celebrity Apprentice logic.
Yeah. I felt like that I would not have been sad to see Jamie Anderson go out here. I really felt like she brought nothing to the table. At least Keisha, we had like the Bill Cosby factor, which was interesting, but not super sad to lose Keisha on night one.
Yeah. And Jamie Anderson, I think she's very clearly over her head, considering in the very first boardroom, he's like, you know, the classic question, who would you fire? I don't know. I'm too nice. Flip a coin?
Yeah, flip a coin. I'm surprised she didn't get fired on the spot for that. If anything, instead of banging out these episodes so fast and firing two people a night, we could have lost two people tonight.
Yeah. Though maybe this will give her the drive to be project manager next episode. Though I feel like Kate Gosselin will be project manager next episode because she doesn't want to be lazy in front of Brandi Glanville anymore.
Right, right. It does seem like early on here, there are some people that they just they have immunity to start off. And it doesn't even matter what they do. It's like they're in the good graces from the very beginning. Even like Geraldo, everybody was sucking Geraldo's kneecaps from the get-go. They're talking about this guy Geraldo like he's the former president of the United States.
Yeah, considering that, like, I don't believe Geraldo Rivera has the Sir most Geraldo. Reputation in journalism, considering he was the one that blew the Al Capone's vault thing, and he like got kicked off of CNN when he accidentally revealed plans and during the Iraq war. Like, this guy is not on everyone's hit list, or not isn't the best person to really be kissing up to. But it seems like everyone's fallen under her spell except for Kevin Jonas.
Yeah, Kevin Jonas hates Geraldo. But I mean, everybody from the Trump side of things was talking about, oh, how great Geraldo is. When you're matching wits with Geraldo, you know you're in for it. I mean, I mean, Geraldo is, I mean, even in his heyday, I don't know if like why we're talking about him like he's so great. And
yeah, this isn't like a, this isn't a Tom Brokaw or anything.
And as much as I love T.O. as well, like it came up in the boardroom. T.O. brought in $750 and Donald Trump's like, oh, well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But like if it was somebody that he wanted to fire, that would have been, they would have like really dug in there. It was like, oh no, that's well, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Considering that, like, yeah, and I think it was like the second least behind like Ian Ziering. And I thought it was hilarious that despite being told that how much Ian Ziering made and how much T.O. made like 10 minutes beforehand in Showtime, Geraldo completely forgets that. He's like, oh yeah, gotta bring in the two people who brought in the least. Let's see, that was Lorenzo and yeah, Ian, right? Ian, whatever your name is.
Yeah. So that, yeah, that was very funny in the boardroom. And it really also felt like specifically, I thought that Piers had it out for Keisha.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He, I mean, the thing that we know about Piers is that like Piers always goes into every situation he's in with like a person to go after. He clearly has a target, which makes him do well on this show, because like if his goal is to throw X, Y, and Z under the bus, he will absolutely do that. And I agree. I feel like once he walked into that boardroom and after he like imparted his sage wisdom onto them of raise money, and then he walked in and he found what he called utter chaos. He was immediately like, okay, that's it. Time to get rid of Keisha.
Yeah, it's almost like Keisha is friends with Omarosa. Do we have any... can we confirm that? Is she in the Omarosa camp?
15. Let's not be shallow here.
I'm saying because Piers hates Omarosa.
Okay. All right. Good.
Could be FOO. Let's go ahead and touch on just real quick. Talk about the 16 people who are on this season, and then we'll talk about the episode more in detail. Let's start with the men because they had a better night. Of course, Geraldo got off to a fast start. How much money did Geraldo bring in?
I know we saw the $10,000 from Bill O'Reilly. We saw another $20,000. I would say of the 100, what was it, the 185,000 that they ended up bringing in, he probably brought in a good amount. I would say probably close to like 50, maybe even $75,000.
Yeah. You think Geraldo's in this for the long haul?
That's the question, because I do feel like there is a pattern with some of these Celebrity Apprentice seasons where like the person who brings in, who's great at fundraising and brings in the big bucks, will last a relatively long time, even if they're not skilled in anything. I mean, think about that Paul Tuttle Sr., that like American Choppers guy, yeah, from a couple seasons ago. Like all he could really do was fundraise. He couldn't do like anything else, but I think he made it to like the final six just because of that.
Yeah, he hung in there. And I think Geraldo's going to be around for a while. I think Geraldo's going to be gold. I think that him and Kevin Jonas are going to fight and fight, and I think that that's going to be good TV. Let's talk about Kevin Jonas.
Oh, man. He came out fighting. That was interesting. I thought he would be much more like in the background, you know, like, you know, doing great things here and there. But, I mean, he's like our narrator.
Yeah. No, he's very good, Kevin Jonas. And also, he has so many followers on Twitter. Over 4 million followers on Twitter for Kevin Jonas. It seems as though Kevin Jonas is very active on the gamer train. Follow train. Yes. Yeah.
Well, we know how the much train of a gamer coming. Kevin Jonas is.
He's a gamer, and he's into it. Kevin Jonas is very good, except his chocolate pudding pie. Not great.
No, not a big fan of the icebox pie.
Okay, what are you going to do? Now, Kevin Jonas was a big fan of Gilbert Gottfried, who I thought was the breakout star of the episode.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he took our expectations and he forwarded them. I love all of his quips. I just love the entertainers that he brought. I just love. So he's like, all right, we're going to bring in like, I'm going to make it like a carnival themed. Let's get a fire eater and this woman dancing with feathers and a Howard Stern lookalike. Because no carnival is complete without Howard Stern lookalike.
Howard Stern lookalike. Do you think we can get the Howard Stern lookalike on the podcast?
What kind of questions would you ask? Like, How does it feel?
Yeah, how did you know you were a Howard Stern lookalike? How'd you get into this business? I think, you know what? I'd be perfectly fine with the next season of Celebrity Apprentice being all lookalikes. Like, A-list people lookalikes. Like, let's get the Cosby lookalike. Let's get, like, everybody that's sort of like, you know, very much like in the TMZ stuff. Like, let's get everybody together, just have a lookalike season of Celebrity Apprentice.
So would these lookalikes be acting like themselves, or would they be acting like they would have to pretend to be the celebrity?
Yeah, pretend to be the celebrities.
So Howard Stern, what do you think about this?
Yeah, like the Howard Stern like would have to go out and fundraise and stuff like that. I think it would be a very compelling season of Celebrity Apprentice.
If they lose like half their budget, I think that's the way to go to make the show stay afloat.
Yeah, I think that could be very good. Okay, so in addition to we got Geraldo, we've got Kevin Jonas, we've got Gilbert Gottfried. Let's talk about Johnny Damon. It's a quiet night for Johnny Damon.
Yeah, I mean, people were recognizing him on the street. I think he brought in a fair amount of money, but he basically stood in the back and smiled, which I think we predicted of him. And I think he's going to be one of those people that stays quiet until he becomes a project manager, and then he'll either sink or swim. But other than that, I don't think we're going to see much, except for, like we saw in the previews, he's going to be taking a selfie in a rather lucid photo.
A lucid photo?
Yeah, he was posing with a woman under a sheet, taking a selfie.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How about Mr. Ian, don't call me Ian Ziering.
Well, I mean, it's makes sense that he brought in the least amount of, or no, he bring in the least amount of money, but he brought in like a,
yeah,
fairly,
you're being a Geraldo right now.
He brought in a good amount of money. I think he's like our secondary narrator. I think he's like Kevin's backup guy when it comes to talking about how crazy Geraldo is.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, they talked about the two things he's known for, 90210 and Sharknado. I'm surprised that Ivanka Trump was such a 90210 enthusiast.
Yeah, she was really into it. I'm surprised. That seems more like of a Donald Trump Jr. thing to be sort of like fanboying or fangirling about the, like, Beverly Hills 90210. But apparently Ivanka was into it.
Or an Adam Pock thing.
Yeah, or an Adam Pock. Who knew?
We might get a Tori Spelling appearance again.
Tori Spelling would be great casting, or at least the Tori Spelling lookalike for a future season. So maybe Ian can, Ian, he can break the 90210 glass ceiling on Celebrity Apprentice. How about Sig Hansen?
he's not a baker.
Yeah, he's terrible.
I did love the shot of, like, not only were the crust burnt, but there was like a shot of the oven and like all these tins were like overturned. So it's clearly just like walked away and completely botched it. I was scared for a second when he was doing his fake freak out about Kevin Jonas, because I believe someone passed away on Deadliest Catch by going under cardiac arrest on his boat.
Oh, my God.
So history might have repeated itself.
Sig. Poor Sig. All right, let's talk about T.O. And it was also a quiet night for T.O. It was a good day for Cowboys fans all around. T.O. not fired.
Yeah, I'm really crushing on this T.O. Gilbert showmance, but I wish we'd see more of it.
Yeah, we'll hopefully see more of it going forward. Only $750 for T.O. T.O. should have called me. I would have given him at least $50.
Yeah, you would have thought that he hasn't burned so many bridges in the NFL that he could call in a couple of favors with, I don't know, Giants, Jets people.
Yeah, there was one point in, like, again, Donald Trump has a serious man crush on T.O., and how could you not? Very handsome guy. But he's like, you know, some of these other people, they're athletes. They don't know wealthy people. Yeah, because, you know, no athletes know anybody who's wealthy.
Yeah, exactly. They only make money for themselves and they just stay in the rooms all day and play video games and binge shows on Netflix. They don't socially interact with anybody.
Yeah, so very tough to find athletes that are connected with people with money. And finally, the other male on Team Vortex. What do you think of Vortex?
I love that the team names are basically names of jacuzzis.
The Infinity Jacuzzi, and is that the one that looks like it's just going off into the horizon?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm glad they're just like, all right, where are some good names of pools and jacuzzis? Let's go with those.
Boy, Geraldo was really like had a real David Healy for the Vortex name. He said it, you would think he was getting like $1,000.
Yeah, it's weird. And it's weird that, like, and again, another time capsule thing. He said, like, all right, he starts off by saying, okay, let's call it vortex because, you know, this polar vortex that we're going through.
Yeah. Yeah. And you would think that Ian would, Ian. I'm trying so hard to say it right that I
get blasted on social media now.
Yeah, that Ian, he was seemed anti-vortex when a vortex is somewhat similar to a tornado or a sharknado, if you will.
Yeah, maybe we'll have Shortex will be Sharknado 3.
Yeah. Let's talk about Mr. Lorenzo Lamas. We're talking... All right. Terrible first night for Lorenzo, right?
Yeah, it's tough because, I mean, everyone has their strengths and weaknesses on these types of shows, and it's clear one of Lorenzo's is not fundraising, and it's always tough starting out with the fundraising task right off the bat because, like, he knew he wasn't going to do well, but he squeaks by the skin of his teeth. I'm sure there's going to be a task where he does great on it, probably, a creative task where he has to act something out, maybe a commercial or something. But, I mean, he squeaked by. He probably would have been fired if the men had somehow lost.
Yeah, yeah, it was a shame because then there was a point when they started talking about how much money they brought in. And unfortunately, a laser pointer was shown on the $100 brought in by Lorenzo Lamas.
That is ridiculous.
I mean, that's insane that you could do, only raise $100. And they're talking about how maybe he's saving his people. Maybe Lorenzo Lamas is holding back. Do you think Lorenzo Lamas is holding back?
I don't know if you could hold back that much. I think there's definitely, you can't swing one way or the other. You can't be like, all right, I'm going to hold back and not do anything. Because, like, if they lost, he probably wouldn't have been fired. He could have gone out onto the streets of New York and begged for money the entire day and could have gotten at least, like, $200. Yeah. He could have doubled what he made by purely begging and panhandling.
The people that brought in nothing, they brought in nothing because they have nothing. They weren't holding out for other people to come on and wait for them to be the project manager. Like, they have nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Then again, that's one of their weaknesses. I mean, Lorenzo Lamas, Joe Schmoso aside, hasn't really been on anything relevant in like 20 years. I doubt people are going to be like, oh yeah, I'm a big llama head. I watch everything he does. And, if he tweets at me, I'm coming to New York and I'm giving you $10,000.
Well, I think he made a mistake because, he is friends with Dan Liu. Dan Liu was telling me, I saw him recently, he's friends with, Lorenzo Lamas. So I don't know why Lorenzo Lamas didn't call Dan and T.O. didn't call me.
Did Dan have to go through a test where he stood naked and Lorenzo Lamas had to shine laser pointers on him?
No, they were both on the Joe Schmo show season 3.
I didn't know Dan Liu was on Joe Schmo show season 3.
Yeah, he was there. All right, let's talk about the women real quick. So of course, we have our dearly departed Keisha Knight Pulliam. Rudy is gone. We talked about her quite a bit. Let's talk about some of her foils. How about Kate Gosselin on night one?
I mean, she did probably as expected in terms of like a performance. I mean, she obviously was not the best in the ballroom. Can we talk about for a second about how much ass or how much kneecaps that Kate Gosselin sucked?
Oh yeah, she is queen kneecaps.
I'm very honored you asked me that question, Mr. Trump. Your honor. Thank you.
Yeah, could you imagine her at like a tribal council where it's like, all right, Kate, tell me, who's pulling their weight around the camp? Jeff, first off, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the life back at the camp. I mean, really, she's brutal.
I want to see her get like pulled over by a cop. Like, miss, you know how fast you were going? I'm honored you asked me that question. I love that you asked me that.
Yeah. Kate Gosselin, I felt like, I think she's going to be good TV because I think she's really crazy. I think that this is going to be a casting home run. So I'm happy that she did not get fired, but I mean, she is a lunatic.
Well, I don't think she could have been fired from a producer standpoint until she got into it with at least one of the housewives. And, you know, since Brandy made that comment about her being lazy, I'm assuming the clause will come out at least a little bit next episode.
Yeah, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. The women's team is ready to erupt. Okay, also, who would you say was aligned with Keisha Knight Pulliam? Did you get the sense that there was an Vivica A. Fox?
Vivica A. Fox was crying, yes, over the concept of Keisha going home,
which brought up one of my favorite moments from the episode tonight. This was when Vivica A. Fox was crying. Donald Trump was very concerned about her, wanted to get her a tissue.
Get some Kleenex. Get some Kleenex.
That poor actress who played Amanda probably had to like shuffle in with a box of tissues and hand it over to her.
Yes, I love this.
Get some Kleenex.
Yeah,
I think that should be the new tagline for Kleenex.
Yeah, because that's the name brand, not a tissue. So Vivica A. Fox otherwise had a quiet episode.
Yeah, she really did not do anything. She didn't even have many quips here and there. I don't think, I'm looking through my notes now, she really did not contribute that much. But she, you know, she did. She wasn't the worst, and it seemed like she brought in some people. So she did fairly well. But you can tell from her confessionals and how dramatic they may be that I think we're in for some great stuff.
Yeah. Lisa Gibbons also was aligned with Keisha Knight Pulliam. She seemed like she's very nice. Lisa Gibbons.
Yeah. Lisa Gibbons did a great job. And you know, she brought in Maria Menounos. She was probably the biggest fundraiser on her team. So that's clearly her skill. And she might be good at the creative stuff as well. We'll see, considering that she was a talk show host. She might be able to write things up. So I'm high on Lisa Gibbons right now.
Okay, then there were some people that were certainly anti Keisha Knight Pulliam. Kenya Moore, a very anti Rudy.
No, she was like, no matter what, like if the conversation was about Kate and or like Sean Johnson, she would immediately turn the conversation back to Keisha. Like, well, but Keisha did this, and then she was the one that dropped the big Bill Cosby bomb.
Yeah. Well, the, by comparison, that is a very small Bill Cosby bomb.
Yes, it was like a courtesy bomb after a giant like Nagasaki-esque massacre.
Oh my God. Now, why do you think Keisha Knight Pulliam and Bill Cosby have not spoken in 5 years?
I mean, I think it's just like, I think it's. It's just, you know, the way things progress. I mean, the Cosby Show was on what, like 20 years ago. I mean, do you think
more than that?
Do you think like the cast members from all these TV shows commonly like call each other up? I mean, I feel for Keisha a little bit. I would personally think it would be awkward if like I had to call up a friend who I hadn't talked to in like 7-8 years since like high school and be like, hey, can you give me money?
Yeah, but it's different. It's different because I feel like this is your, I mean, your claim to fame, if you're Keisha Knight Pulliam, even if you know Tyler Perry, your claim to fame is that you were Rudy on The Cosby Show. You're going on The Celebrity Apprentice, where the like 90% of The Celebrity Apprentice is calling up your famous friends for money. You know it's going to come up. How do you not call Bill Cosby ahead of time and say, hey, can I call you when I'm on the show, or should I just GTFO right now?
Yeah, I could definitely understand that. I mean, she also has other resources I'm surprised she didn't call upon. Like, I'm sure Felicia Rashad has a good amount of money. Malcolm Jamal Ward.
Yeah, where's she been? Can we get an interview with Felicia Rashad sometime soon?
Just does it have to do with this, or just any sort of random interview with Felicia Rashad?
I'd like to hear her take on a lot of things right now.
I think we can get the lookalike.
Felicia Rashad lookalike.
A fake Felicia Rashad, if you will.
Yeah, I would take Ahmad Rashad at this point. Either way, I would like to know more about what was going on at that Cosby house. No Malcolm Jamal Warner call?
No, I'm very surprised about that, considering he's very active. It seems like he's been making appearances. He's been making a lot of money. I'm sure if she asked, maybe she felt some sort of embarrassment from doing it, you know? Maybe yeah. She wanted to distance herself from the Cosby brand somehow.
No call to Tempest Bledsoe?
No call to Bud?
Bud? Yeah. No call to Lisa Bonet?
Exactly. Exactly.
So
no call to Lisa Bonet Ramsey.
Yeah. So anyway, but Kenya Moore was very anti. Kenya Moore was good on night one.
Yeah, I enjoyed Kenya Moore. It seems like she has a lot of potential. And she, you know, her and Brandy both have worked these confessionals perfectly, because they know all real housewives do is they say something and then they know how to give like a nicely packaged confessional reaction quote. And they were like the stars of those confessionals the entire episode.
Well, Kenya Moore told us that she is the master of catchphrases. That what were some of the catchphrases that she came up with?
Gone with the Wind Fabulous.
Gone with the Wind Fabulous, of course, which I say every day.
Yeah, that's been trending for at least a couple of years by this point, Gone with the Wind Fabulous. And I believe the other one she came up with was Twirl?
Twirl, yes.
Is that like turnt?
I think twirl? So. Yes. So both of those are fantastic. So
she should have come. I wish she had reused a song like "Twirl My Taco Pie."
Whoa! Oh, easy. I know it's late, Mike. I know it's late. And while you know she was 100% correct, could we talk about negative Nancy Sean Johnson?
Yeah. Oh my God, Sean! You gotta at least put up at least a little bit of optimism in the boardroom. Sean, do you think your team won? No. I mean, she was entirely realistic. I mean, they even with the bonus they got, they lost.
I know. When they tried to get her hopes up, they were like, hey, 25,000. What do you think, Sean? Maybe you think that there's a chance that maybe you think you got a shot now? Maybe did you win? Like, no, we definitely didn't. We definitely didn't win, Mr. Trump.
No, she is not having, like, it seems like it is a little scripted, that boardroom, to be like, they clearly want each team to you know, be cocky and say they won and that, you know, they did an amazing job, but Sean Johnson is having nothing of it. She's like that disgruntled gymnast from the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. Was it Jamie Anderson?
It might have been Jamie Anderson. She might have flipped a coin.
And then what about Brandy Glanville?
Brandy Glanville, she had some quips here and there. I think she was, you know, part of like the Ian Ziering and Kevin Jonas edit style of like they constantly went back to her every time Keisha did something for her to say like, you're not doing this right. She did have one of the quotes of the night by, you know, with the whole pie thing by saying, I think it was like, I never want to be sticky unless a hot guy's around.
Hey now. Yeah.
She's trying to bring in the ratings.
Yeah. Brandy Glanville, also host of the Brandy Glanville podcast, also here on Podcast One. Brandy Great. Glanville Unfiltered, I should say. And she was unfiltered tonight, as per usual. Okay.
I can't imagine all the stickiness going in there.
Sticky situation. Yes.
Where's that rotisserie chicken?
Yes. Hold on. Yeah. All right, let's just talk through the episode a little bit, and then we'll get to talking about the boardroom. Just picking out the highlights. So the women had to come up with a team name. They went back and forth. What do you think of Team Trojan Horse? Should the women have gone with Team Trojan Horse?
Wasn't Brandy the one to suggest that as well?
I'm not sure. I don't even get it. I don't even get why they would be a Trojan Horse.
Because I guess they're like non-intimidating at first, but then they emerge and they're deadly warriors. I mean, so I guess their basic choices were between Affinity and Team Gold.
Team Gold, a little on the nose, I feel like.
Yeah. Which also wouldn't make sense because I believe their official team color is the blue colors, which was really confused this editors during the Chirons.
Be very confusing. Yes. So we also had in the men's team, they ended up really Geraldo pushing hard for Vortex.
Yeah, and this is the beginning of what Kevin calls Geraldo steamrolling everybody. Though from what we've seen, it seemed like the guys were just throwing out joke suggestions anyway. There was Gilbert's Warriors. Someone just T.O. just suggested the name be Team Geraldo.
Yeah, that's Team Geraldo would be funny, especially if he either got traded to the other team or got fired.
I think if he got fired, it'd be funny. It would be like a Big Brother 6 situation where they'd have to have like a picture of Geraldo like above their team suite. Like this is in memoriam of Geraldo.
Well, no, they'd have like a picture of Geraldo with like 7 Geraldos on it.
Or like everyone would have to don mustaches the rest of the season in honor of him.
Yeah, Geraldo's mustache is ridiculous.
It is cartoonish.
Yes. It's like Geraldo's mustache is like a hipster trying to have a crazy mustache.
It looks like something that like in the movie, the Dana Carver movie, Master of Disguise, like something he would wear, like shoddily made, like gray mustache that tapers off at the end. Like it just, it's not, it can't be real.
Now, it seems like this season of Celebrity Apprentice, we've had like a quantum leap, I feel like, in terms of the amount of importance of social media. Do you remember in previous seasons of Celebrity Apprentice, this much talk about Celebrity Apprentice, social media and Twitter followers and hashtags and anything like that?
Yeah, I would say no. I mean, granted, the last edition of Celebrity Apprentice aired in like 2012. And even then, I feel like while Twitter was still a thing, it wasn't like as giant. I do think Twitter has become a bigger thing in the past couple of years. But yeah, I remember that the fundraising tasks in the past, it's been much more about like get on the phone and call people. We saw maybe a couple scenes of that, but you know, Sean Johnson saying, let's get a pick stitch going. And Kevin Jonas keeps talking about his 4.7 million
Instagram,
followers.
Instagram a picture of your Twitter. In fairness, Mike, I do believe the last episode of Celebrity Apprentice was in 2013.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's 2015 now.
It's 2015 now. 2014 was the dark times of the year without the Celebrity Apprentice.
A year without a Celebrity Apprentice. It's the Rankin Bass special that never got aired.
Yes. Geraldo gives us some sage advice about this. He says, when in doubt, get the word out. That was Geraldo's.
That's right up there with Gone with the Wind Fabulous. A catchphrase.
Now, what did you think Geraldo's deal was? Do you feel like he felt like Kevin Jonas wasn't promoting enough? Because he seemed to be checking in a lot on the social media.
I felt like he's just a micromanager. And it shows when he like in that during that first day when like they wanted to get down to the kitchens. But like Geraldo gathered them together in that room for a long time to be like, all right, guys, just going over what's happening. I think Geraldo probably. Honestly, if I'm extrapolating things, he probably thinks he's a little bit higher up than everybody else. And he thinks he's kind of patronizing everybody and working with dumber people. So he's like, all right, I just need to keep reminding them of what their duties are so that the you know, they'll keep everything in line and then we can get to work.
Now, speaking of the work, this came up very early in the episode. And just to talk actual strategy here, there was two schools of thought tonight. The men probably went with a more of a balanced approach and the women realized that they couldn't really do fundraising. So they just tried to kind of focus on the pies. Would the best approach have been to, as Will Olson on Twitter reminded me, do what Trace Adkins did in the last season of Celebrity Apprentice premiere, said, hey, Don't even worry about the pies. Let's just, you know, let's make this is an air pie and another air pie. Here you go. There, it's an empty pie. I mean, I guess you probably needed something to sort of like make it seem like that there's a buzz. Yeah. We've got a Cool Whip pie. And this one is a, you know, Crisco pie. Here you go. And then just only focus on fundraising. Would the men have still won if they would have done that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they purely won by the fundraising, and it goes to show that like they didn't win the pie making contest whatsoever, but they still trounced the women. So like this is clearly about fundraising. I think either the producers underestimated the fundraising power of some of these men when they created this task, or they thought they probably thought it would be a lot closer to add these like taste tests in with the cake boss and everything. But I mean, like. It really doesn't matter. It's this task is all about how much money you can bring in.
Yeah, Cake Boss needed to be worth about 100K for this to be competitive.
Exactly. It had to be like the big, like, you know, brass ring to grab. I mean, $25,000 is like significant. I mean, that's what, like, you know, 2,500 times the amount that Lorenzo brought in.
Yeah. I mean, they really hyped up the bonus too on Cake Boss. Like, Cake Boss is coming and this is going to be a fabulous bonus. This is going to be a really incredible bonus. I'm not even going to tell you what it is. It's like, it's probably going to be 25,000. Like, it always
is. I'm confused though. Like, Cake Boss decided who to give $25,000 to from Toshiba. Like, not even from Cake Boss. Cake Boss represented Toshiba.
Yeah. What did Toshiba get out of this?
I don't know. I guess Toshiba's like pies? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure exactly either. So in terms of the pies that were made, we touched on it briefly. Blueberry pear pie, that was the good one. And then enchilada pie, that was questionable, but not as bad as the low-calorie chicken pot pie.
Well, I think you said the chicken pot pie was like fine, like under seasoned. I think the worst one, according to the cake boss, was probably
the Kevin Jonas pie,
the burnt icebox pie, the burnt nitro killer pie. Well,
look, it's hot and cold. It's burnt, but it's frozen. It's an interesting taste. It's fire and ice.
Oh my God, it's perfect. They should have marketed it to all the Game of Thrones fans.
Yes. Well, I thought that they were going for the Game of Thrones fans by bringing in hot pie. Yes, could have had a cameo for hot pie.
That would have been amazing. That's one of the things that Gilbert Gottfried brings in, a hot pie lookalike.
Yeah. That'll be for the lookalike season. Speaking of lookalikes, did somebody confuse T.O. with Chris Brown? Did somebody think that T.O. was Chris Brown?
I believe so. Not giving the best reputation for New York there, lady, but Kim Pike.
Right. Right. Chris Brown lookalike would be another ideal casting choice for the lookalike season.
Especially if he acted like Chris Brown.
Yeah, that would be really fantastic. What about when Gilbert Gottfried was told to go supervise the balloons by Geraldo?
That was hilarious. And that's a reason why I think Gilbert Gottfried is going to be fantastic TV, is because like he's able to like quip to the cameras about supervising the balloons. And I just loved him walking out there and be like, apparently I'm supposed to supervise the balloons. And he just kind of stands around incredulously and looks around. He is not on the Gary Busey level. I feel like that was a very Gary Busey-esque task to be given, of like, okay, you go supervise the balloons. And Gilbert was not in the same Gary Busey mindset of like being a go-getter about it.
No, Gilbert handled that perfectly. I mean, that Gilbert, I think, is in on the joke, where Gary Busey is not in on the joke of go to supervise the balloons. Like, that would be like an actual job you would go give Gary Busey, because it's something that like, he couldn't screw it up. Gilbert is perfectly capable, and they gave him a stupid job. But he did a great job. None of them popped. None of them flew away. Nobody stole the balloons. So I think he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, I was surprised though that he didn't give in and drill like, you know, paraphernalia on the balloons.
Well, he did try to give Geraldo a prostate exam.
Yeah, that was I want to keep him around just for him to like poke the sleeping bear that is Geraldo.
Oh, I thought you were going to say poke something else.
Well, we could do that.
That's part of the prostate exam.
If there's a commercial about, you know, doing about prostate cancer, I think they already brewed up a good idea
as a task on The Apprentice.
Exactly. You have to make a commercial to promote awareness about colon cancer.
Right, right. Or anything. And also, I mean, Geraldo is over 70. So it's, you know, Gilbert, good looking out.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was ready to go. I don't know if I was Geraldo, if I would want a man who has been fiddling around in that that icebox pie to suddenly, you know.
All right. Let's talk about Pie Face, which a number of our listeners have alerted me. Speaking of in a time capsule, since this season of Celebrity Apprentice was filmed, Pie Face apparently is out of business.
Oh my God. Oh no, this is Celebrity Apprentice curse.
Get some Kleenex.
Yes.
Celebrity that they talk about in every business that they promote is just dying.
Oh my God. The Celebrity Apprentice bump is a negative one.
Yeah, it's a curse.
Yeah. All right. So when we got to the day of the thing, what did you think of the leadership style of Geraldo versus the leadership style of Keisha?
Well, can we talk about that sign for a second with the guys? That there's a sign with all the guys on it.
And yes.
Not only did Geraldo put himself twice, he also put him a giant picture of himself in the corner, and they eliminated the word apprentice. So it just said celebrity and then a picture of Geraldo Rivera next to it.
Yeah. And I think Geraldo like missed the point of why that was dumb to do that. He was like, hey, if I could make more money, I'd put myself on there six times. It's like, yeah, you should put yourself on zero times. That's how you would make more money.
Exactly.
Nobody's like coming to see for you, Geraldo.
Like, oh, let me walk into this failing business establishment to see this, out of work septuagenarian reporter.
Septuagenarian. Oh my God.
Tell me a burnt pie.
Yeah. You know, anyway, and then Keisha's leadership style, compared to Geraldo, like Keisha, like just sort of like wanted to like hide and like, okay, I'm just going to be the cashier. Just leave me alone.
She was just running around doing everything. I mean, it was two completely opposite approaches where Geraldo was literally stuck standing in the middle of traffic the whole time, just kind of directing people. Keisha was running around like a mad woman. And I mean, I mean, ultimately Keisha's project management style wasn't great. It is fun fact. I believe she's the only person to get fired first in a Celebrity Apprentice season who was the project manager. Interestingly enough, usually it's like if the, like, when the project manager loses, there's still like a bad seed on their team that needs to be getting gotten rid of. This was not the case. I mean, her style wasn't great, but I wouldn't say Geraldo's was like out of this world. He just brought
no, and Geraldo was just like standing in the middle of the road. All right, let's go, move it along. Give us the money, then move it. Get out of here. Just give us money. Go away now. Yeah, hurry up.
I would rather walk in and have Kate Gosselin randomly talk about how cold my hands are than have Geraldo Rivera like kicking me out.
No, Geraldo was like the pie Nazi. Like, come on, let's go. Chop chop, people. Give us your money and move along.
Grab your burnt pie. Get your selfie with Kevin Jonas and give us and get
no
out.
Bread. You go. So very, very interesting. All right. So then we had some celebrities popped in. Maria Menounos was there.
Yep, she's I don't know if she's still on Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, not sure.
Access Hollywood or whatever. I think she left. But yes, she was.
Yeah. A man representing the interests of Bill O'Reilly was there.
Yes. He was. That is very, very interesting. I mean, it totally makes sense, but I did not think that we'd ever see Bill O'Reilly giving money on The Apprentice unless it was directly channeled through Donald Trump.
Yes, it happened. And then how about this? Celebrity Apprentice alumnus Claudia Jordan showed up.
Oh, man.
What do you make of this?
The always memorable Claudia Jordan, who...
Two-time Celebrity Apprentice.
Who would only give money if someone got hit with a pie in the face.
All right, so let's talk about this. So she had the pie in the face, and this was... who did she do this to? To Kenya?
She wanted Kenya to get a pie in the face, and Brandy was going to do it, but then apparently somehow, I guess maybe she put it on the counter or something, Kenya grabs it and actually pies Brandy in the face, and then Brandy just kind of flings whipped cream in her direction.
Okay, so it was getting crazy at the women's pie face. Perhaps one of the reasons why pie face is no longer in business. Potentially. We'll see. Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry. Okay. I got dreamy thinking about Housewives getting pied in the face, and I just kind of zoned out.
I can imagine. I can imagine. All right. So anyway, people bringing in a lot of checks. We had a bunch of the people coming in or from around the corner. When we finally got to the boardroom, was there any doubt in your mind that it was going to be a men victory?
Not whatsoever. It's very clear throughout that the men were, you know, talking about how much money they were bringing in. And that, again, that's the name of the game. And the women were obviously not as confident. And I feel like the writing was on the wall a little bit for Keisha. I know I talked about before how previously in Celebrity Apprentice, the first losing project manager never gets fired. But clearly there were a lot of Keisha's negative flaws were coming out, and barely any were coming out for like someone like Kate.
Let me ask you this. If this Celebrity Apprentice boardroom happened today instead of in 2014, early 2014, whenever they filmed it, or 2013, whenever. If this would have happened, and I think they filmed it spring of 2014, if that would have happened and the Bill Cosby thing would have come up, do you think that the people in the boardroom would have pushed her for not making that phone call?
I would think so. I just think because it really has become a toxic topic in our society nowadays that like, I think people would be like, good for you. Don't do that. I think if she had done it, it'd be a huge discussion point because it's definitely like a morality thing of like, you know, there's this guy who has a lot of money that you could donate, but he's such a toxic part of like the discussion right now. Would it be worth it to get funds from him? And I mean, as much of a businessman as Donald Trump is, I'm sure it wouldn't be the best representation of his show that is like, oh yeah, and he's taking money from Bill Cosby to give to charity.
Yeah.
So I think he would have kindly refused the donation.
Yeah. I mean, if Keisha Knight Pulliam would have been like, listen, Bill Cosby, that there are things you don't know about him, and I don't want to say, but there's a reason why him and I are not on speaking terms, and she'd be a hero. She'd be applauded.
There'd be a parade in her honor.
Yeah, she blew the case wide open.
She's one of the only women that turned down Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of women turned down Bill Cosby. I think that's the problem, Mike. Many women turned him down. I think that's a part of the problem. All right, so we got to the men talking about how much money was raised, and so we're getting to Geraldo, and it's like, all right, Geraldo, who raised the least amount of money in your team? It's like, well, I can't say. I hate when we do this in the boardroom where it's like a guessing game. It's like, all right, is the person to your left? No.
Yeah, does he wear a hat?
It's like guess who in the Apprentice boardroom. Okay. So and Geraldo says, okay, whoever made the least amount of money, could you raise your hand?
Yeah, it's I agree, and I think it definitely shows that it's early season boardrooms that like between him and Jamie Anderson, they're like still distancing themselves from being like, I want to be nice and I want to make friends. Like, I think the claws are definitely going to come out as the season gets on and people's just throwing people under the bus a countless amount of times.
Yeah. And so, I touched on it earlier about the TO thing. I really was surprised that Trump didn't dig his teeth in on that, how little money they brought in.
Yeah, I'm very surprised as well, but maybe your theory holds true. Maybe Trump just gives a handicap to the athletes, saying like, oh, poor little athletes, they can't bring in money. Yeah. They don't have friends.
They don't know anybody. So we finally got to when talking with the women and really drilling down, I felt like Kate Gosselin kind of went to the Amanda Kimmel school of boardroom management. She really was just meandering all over the place.
Yeah, and she had those doe eyes came out as well.
Yes, I felt like she was really in trouble, and Piers gave her some sage advice she needed to start bust throwing ASAP, and then I think she did pick up on that.
Yeah, I mean, she's a reality TV star. I think she understands like when the cue is to like, okay, start causing drama and throwing people under the bus. I think she finally got that decision. I also love the other main controversy of like the first half of this boardroom was the whole like broken pie situation when the women had like broken a pie and they were going to eat it and Keisha didn't want them to eat it.
Yes. What's your take on that?
Well, the reasoning that she had was kind of sound if it goes with the Trace Adkins philosophy of like, it doesn't matter what the quality of the pie is if people are just going to buy it anyway. But at the same time, I mean, if it's one of those that you're going to give out to your customers, it's not going to be a great thing. And it's like one pie out of how many that they made. They can have one. It's okay, Keisha. We're not rationing anything right now. There's enough taco pie to go around.
There certainly is. How about the decision, the King Solomon-esque decision after it was announced that they won the $25,000, when it got down to Keisha and Jamie and Kate in the boardroom, Donald Trump asked Keisha, who a lot of credit had been given to Jamie for making the delicious $25,000 pie. Donald Trump wanted Keisha to divide up how much of that $25,000 pie should be given to Jamie for making that pie.
And she said, what, like 5,000?
Yes. I would give her 5,000 of it, which Piers very astutely pointed out, which would still make her bring in less money. Just less than Keisha.
Oh my God. Yeah. Piers is kind of on fire. I'm excited because Piers did not have the best showing on the All-Star season just because he clearly had a bias
or on CNN.
You know, maybe he's chomping at the bit after his show. Though, had his show been canceled at the point that it was filming?
Kenya Moore said she was still watching it.
Really?
Yeah. She said, I watch his show all the time on CNN, so I know he's good.
Oh, was she watching the part where the halftime guy on the tightrope played by Andy Samberg appeared?
No. So I don't know if his show was canceled or not. Somewhere Omarosa was laughing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, it makes sense that, you know, I mean, as much as we talk about the boardroom kind of turning on Keisha, she did kind of flip flopping her statements as well in terms of being like, oh, Sean and Jamie and Kate were amazing at making the pie. No, they only reportedly represented about a fifth of the winning pie.
Yes, absolutely. So only the fifth of the winning pie. Go big or go home, right?
And she went home.
That was the choice. And she did clearly go
she
home.
She flipped a coin, much like Jamie Anderson.
Yeah. Yes. According to Scott St. Pierre, the final date of Piers Morgan on CNN was March 28, 2014. So very shortly after this.
So he probably was like happy he had a gig right after his show got canceled.
Before we jump into the questions, Mike, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of Robin's Podcast. And those are our friends over at Nature Box. And
oh, man.
Yes, because Nature Box, first of all, forget about a low-calorie chicken pot pie. Nature Box is the healthy snack that you're looking for.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Nature Box. My fiance got a sample pack after listening to this podcast, and I had the holy peanut butter nom noms, and I'm a fan.
Yeah, I just got my most recent Nature Box, and it's a bunch of stuff, and it's fantastic. The dark cocoa almonds, I want to eat them all the day that I get them. It's very hard for me to ration them throughout the month.
Well, just make sure you didn't. If you broke any, Keisha Knight Pulliam would still want to give them away to people.
Yeah. All right. So you could be like Mike Bloom and get some free snacks. Put down the candy bars and the potato chips because they're not good for you, and get some delicious, wholesome snacks from Nature Box. They're delicious and you won't feel guilty about eating them, and they're better for you. They've got no artificial flavors, colors, sweeteners, and 0 grams of trans fat, no high fructose corn syrup. And plus, unlike a pear and blueberry pie, they're not going to have a ton of added sugar and gluten. So
that's true. Would Cake Boss approve then?
Cake Boss approved. So avoid that afternoon slump. Check out delicious things like peanut butter nom noms, which are fantastic. I had a pumpkin spice nom nom even, or baked sweet potato fries. They're delicious and much better for you. So we've got a chance for you to try Nature Box for free with a trial box. Yes, free snacks. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. Stay full, stay strong, and do what I do. Snack smarter. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. And get a free trial of delicious snacks. Okay. Mike, are you ready to get into some of the questions from the listeners?
Let's do it.
Yeah. Very happy with the live turnout here. So I appreciate you guys showing up for the show tonight. Nick2S says, if you could throw a pie in anyone's face, who would it be? Yes. And we flexed our, much like Kevin Jonas. I got on social media. I told people to come out and watch us live, and here you are. So thank you.
You're all prepubescent girls as well. I'm so happy.
All right. If you could throw a pie in anybody's face, who would it be?
Is anyone in the cast or just anyone in general?
Let's limit it to the Celebrity Apprentice cast.
Oh, man, that's a good question. I'd have to throw it in Brandy Glanville's face, but a hot man would do it so that she'd be happy with it. And then we would have to bring up a sticky situation.
Yeah.
Maybe Baylor could do it.
I don't know who I would throw a pie in anybody's face. I guess I would do Geraldo, because somebody put a chair in his face one time. So if you just hit him with a pie in the face, he'd probably be like, oh, that's not so bad at all.
Plus, that whipped cream is going to be in his mustache for weeks.
For weeks. He'd never get it out.
Never.
All right. Zachary Zarnett Klein wants to know, do you think there was anything sketchy going on in terms of the 25K amount of the tasting bonus not being announced until after the task? Or is this a case of fan fiction? What do you think, Mike?
Wait for it. Maybe.
Fan fiction. I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
Yeah, I guess what if Toshiba was like, hey, if it's enough to swing the balance of the thing, we'll go up to 50K. But if it's not going to make a difference, we're only going to do 25K.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it is that elastic of an amount. I think to answer your initial question, they usually save like the results until the boardroom. They don't usually announce it right then and there. okay. who won the task. It isn't like a Survivor thing where they like drop the reward right after the plane flies overhead.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's go to ZZK. Okay, let's take the next question if we can, Scott. Luke wants to say, considering when this was filmed, I wonder if they had to go back and re-edit it to mine for more Cosby references. Do you think that... All right. Do you think that the show was filmed, edited, they didn't touch it? Or do you think they went back and said, we need more Cosby or we need less Cosby?
I think they might have limited the comments that Keisha made. I feel like since she was associated with the Cosby show so much that she'd make more comments about it, they probably edited it to that one that you played before about how much, you know, Cosby inspired her. But I mean, I think they handled it, I guess, relatively tastefully considering the circumstances. There weren't really that many instances where I'm like, oh man, this is too much Cosby. This is way too much Cosby.
It's, you don't want to be in that situation. Okay. So, yeah, I feel like they, if anything, they probably added more, but, hard to say in the recipe. Okay. Edward Morris says, if Keisha calls Bill Cosby and he says no, or the check, didn't make it in time, does she still get fired?
Yes.
Yes. Do you believe I tweeted about this? I had other big donors. The check didn't, they didn't get here in time. Do you buy that at all?
I think it's relatively true. I'm assuming that she called other people. As she said, she had like Tyler Perry and other people lined up. I just think none of them.
Yeah. Where was Tyler Perry?
He was out. He was texting Jeff Probst.
I mean, he couldn't have sent in the Tyler Perry check, which would have saved her.
She just pulled out the Tyler Perry blank check.
Yes, the Tyler Perry blank check, which is like
write in any amount.
Yeah, write in any amount.
After the verdict that comes in.
Yeah, so Tyler Perry really, he helped Tony. At least he could help Rudy, right?
He's revolutionizing TV as we know it.
It's changing everything. All right, Ari Ferrari wants to know, if Dan Liu calls you for a charitable donation after all these years, do you pick up? Well, is it a text? How do I know to pick up or not?
And does he still have malaria? That's the big question.
No, Dan does not have malaria.
I don't want to get malaria from any checks that are passed through Dan Liu.
No, you won't get malaria. Dan does not have malaria.
Okay, I would have him do it, but I'd have him walk across a balance beam first.
Fair enough. If you can get across this balance beam, you get the check. Kurt Clark says, the tabulator has Jonas fever after the first episode. Oh, breaking news.
Wow, Kurt, first Kurt's a brony. Now he's a Jonas fan.
Get some Kleenex.
Yeah. Big Jonas fan. Big Jonas fan. So there you go. Kurt Clark is are you shipping Kurt Clark and Kevin Jonas?
Sure. What are we going to call that? Curvin.
Okay. Could work. All right. So Brittany Scott wants to know, who could Keisha have really brought back, with her that would have actually gone home over her, since it clearly wasn't about the money if people who made less than her stay? This is a good question.
I would have brought back, I think Kate would still have been a good choice.
Gotta bring Kate.
I would say maybe Sean. Just
Kate plus what?
I would say Kate plus Sean.
Kate plus Sean.
A, she was part of that pie making team, but B, I think that like she could have pointed out to Trump that whole like I don't think we won thing, and she could have tried to like throw her under the bus by saying like she's not about the team.
Yeah, you know,
she's a negative energy that's dragging our team down. I mean, again, go for broke if that's what you need to do.
Yeah, I don't think you could kill her for bringing up the Jamie thing. I think that you could really point out her lack of a killer instinct. I think she could have made more of a meal out of the Mr. Trump. Okay, did you see? She just said flip a coin. Is that really the kind of person you want to hire to be your next Celebrity Apprentice? Like,
I completely agree.
You could grandstand your way through a lot of stuff in the Celebrity Apprentice boardroom. And she was just like, she was terrible at that.
Yeah, if Lisa Lampanelli was in there, she would have steamrolled over her.
Yeah. What the F, Jamie? flip a coin? Are you kidding me? I think you could have really, like, if you make a scene and sort of, like, really, like, point out, like, other people's mistakes, I think you could help out. I mean, Jamie, you might as well fire her now.
Yeah. Though, who knows? She might go under the radar now until, like, mid-game, until she, like, I feel like she won't get fired until she, like, really screws something up.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, I hope she gets fired soon, I should say. UConn R wants to say, do you think they made a big deal out of the number of Kevin Jonas's Twitter followers? Sure, 4 million is a lot, but how many of them are adults who could donate and live in NYC? I bet that number is really small.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is odd that, like, during that, you know, whole scene about, like, wow, Kevin brought all his followers, it didn't cut to that many of his, like, the Joe Bro crowd of, like, the, as I mentioned before, the prepubescent girls. It was more just like grown adults standing around. But, you know, Kevin is kind of a mogul, an entrepreneur. We brought up his app during the cast preview. Yeah. Maybe he's farming richer territory than we thought.
Yeah. They also, you know, had the line around the corner, so they were doing something right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's go to the next question. Bill Simmons, the great podcaster and writer, wants to know, Rob, true or false, T.O. reached out to you for a donation in this task. That is false. T.O. did not ask me for a donation, and if he did, I would have certainly donated. I just don't know the rules of, I don't know if I would have had to have like Stephen Fishback, like, bring the check, like, yeah, there in person.
That's the thing. I don't think that there are any, like, electronic wire transfers allowed on Celebrity Apprentice. It always has to be these climactic things of, like, couriers bringing signed checks to people.
Yeah, our own friend Keith Black was there in person. He told me that he visited both of the pie faces.
Which one did he enjoy more?
He said that it was jam-packed at the men's one, and it was very easy to get into the women's one.
Did he eat Brandy Glanville's taco pie?
We'll have to ask him. I'll ask him on Gmail tomorrow. Okay. Ghoul Bat Games wants to know, can Gilbert win this season of Celebrity Apprentice?
I would say let's put him in a PM position and see what he does. You know, he could be the Pendulette type, where he's like a creative type that does really well with that stuff. Or he could be, again, more like a Gary Busey thing, where, like, he makes his jokes and he does his certain things and he's able to survive. If it's the former, he might be able to win. If it's the latter, I don't think so.
Yeah, that'll be great. The week that he does it, there'll be like the preview for the next week's episode. It'll be like, what happens when Gilbert becomes project manager? It'll be fantastic. Very excited for that. All right, let's take some more questions. Survivor Fan 7 will say, which celebrity is in the stickiest situation heading into tomorrow night's episode? All right, who's the most likely to be fired in a very fiery and sticky situation?
Let's see. So if I can make a list, I would say it's like Kate Stecton gum. It's like Lorenzo got honey in his hair.
Yes.
I would say Jamie's Dairy Queen is melting and getting everywhere.
Okay, fair. Very good. Very good. Well done. All right.
Thank you.
Let's go to Matthew Hedges, who says, does your main man T.O. have a shot of winning this season? That is a great question, and I believe the answer is no. No, I don't believe T.O. has a shot to win the season. Got to bring in more than 750.
Yeah, that's especially since there's probably going to be at least one more fundraising task probably in the middle to the end of the game. Like, if he brings in the same amount, that's not going to do well for him.
Yeah. Gotta be, have, you know, deep pockets of the donors.
Yep. No matter what. You may have all the creative talent in the world, but if you can't bring in at least a few celebrities for the final task, like, your chances are gone.
Yeah. You gotta be able to bring in the donors. Okay. Keith Dixon wants to know, couldn't Keisha just pretend to call up Bill Cosby and say he's not answering? Oh, that's a good move.
I got his voicemail.
Yes. I think the move would have been like, I called Bill Cosby and he said no.
That's true, though. I wonder if, like, they would have, producers would try to, like, check that, and they found out it would have been a lie. And
sorry, Keisha, we just contacted Bill Cosby and he said that that's not true. And how you're giving Bill Cosby a bad reputation of being a liar.
And that will never happen in the
year
2014.
That will not stand on the NBC network.
Exactly.
Boy, the Keisha Knight Pulliam interview on the Today Show tomorrow, on the hard-hitting Today Show, where they ask Amy Adams questions that makes her leave the studio. Boy, yeah. That's got to be must-see TV, right?
I was going to say, I can maybe Amy Adams will walk out of this interview too tomorrow.
Yeah, if Keisha Knight Pulliam knows what's good for her, I think she might want to walk out of this interview.
Yeah.
I mean, like, will they ask her one question about Celebrity Apprentice?
I feel like they'll ask, like, they'll throw a question at, like, throw a bone to her. Like, they'll be like, so what was it working with the Real Housewives?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so tell us about Bill Cosby. What's going on there? What's going on with Bill Cosby? Do you think he did it? You think he?
That's a good Matt Lauer pose.
Yeah. Tell me, what do you think? Matt, they will have Keisha Knight Pulliam 7:05 tomorrow morning on the Today Show. Like, yeah. She's not with Kathy Lee and Hoda. She's going to be like, our top story this morning, Keisha Knight Pulliam is here to talk about Bill Cosby. Rudy speaks out. No, now, tonight, Bill Cosby is calling up Keisha Knight Pulliam with sending a check over tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Tonight, exactly. He's on the phone. He has her undivided attention tonight.
That camp's getting a lot of money now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Camp. What is it called? Camp whatever?
I don't know. Banana. Wananaka. Forgot the name.
Yeah, I have 5 pages of notes from this show tonight, and they're all out of order now. So this whole show's out of order. Okay. Camp Kizzy. Again, I a little bit of a Celebrity Apprentice nitpick. Don't like it when the Celebrity Apprentices are playing for charities that they have created.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Plus, Camp Kizzy sounds like it's a name that it was named by like Snoop Dogg.
I'm sure it's a good cause. I'm sure there's nothing, but this happens a lot. And I think it's a fine line of what is like, okay, if I'm running a charity, then what are you paying out of the, you know, if it's a nonprofit, but do you take a salary? I think it's a little questionable.
Yeah, I agree. It's sort of like pooping where you eat. It's like, all right, I'm just gonna take. Oh, you're paying the Geraldo Rivera fund.
Yeah, like Gary Busey, I think, had his own thing and stuff like that. Yeah. Like a lot of people. I'm sure that everything is on the level, but it's just I feel like you should have to play for a different cause than one you own.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Dr. OJ says. Who surprised you by being good TV? All right. Who surprised us positively and negatively?
I would say I was positively surprised by Kevin Jonas. Actually, I think, again, I thought he'd be a little more under the radar, but he actually was like our narrator. He wasn't like amazing TV, but I do like, it's interesting. I didn't think he'd be the one to be in direct conflict with Geraldo.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Gilbert surprised me. Gilbert was better than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be funny, but not take it seriously. And I feel like he's being funny, and I do feel like he's taking it seriously.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. As to people who disappointed us, T.O. is definitely on the top of that list.
He's been quiet.
He's been very, very quiet. Let's see.
But I do think T.O. that for being somebody who's like a showman, I do think he's also kind of a shy guy at times. Like I do think he's a little more introverted than you would expect him to be. He's not like a Dennis Rodman where he's like, you know, is trying to be, you know, outlandish. Like I feel like when it's something that he knows he can do well, like I think he's going to go out there and, you know, be the person like, we'll go out there and make a spectacle when it's something that he knows he can do. But if it's not something that he feels confident about, I feel like he is a little more introverted than you would think.
That makes sense. They're going to need to like come up with a task of like, you need to create your own football pop-up stand to put in the middle of Sports Authority.
Yeah.
And then he'll crush it.
He'd be good. And then as far as the disappointing women, I feel like I didn't really have high expectations for too many of the women.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is I was disappointed in Kate Gosselin until that boardroom when like the dramatics finally came out.
Yeah, she's a good greeter.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to walk in and be like shaking your hand. Oh, great. Oh, your hands are cold. Like, thank you. Nice to see you too, Kate Gosselin.
She's like the Zingbot.
I'm gonna try that now when I greet people.
Yeah. What's Kate Gosselin's dating status? Is she single? Kate Gosselin, tell me right now, are you single and ready to mingle?
I would not be surprised if she was, because I don't know exactly what her how long she's been able to keep men around after John, just because I mean that's a lot to deal with on a variety of levels.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to a few more questions. Matt Ketchum. How many, this was a year ago moments did you catch? I noticed Polar Vortex reference, Trump bowing before the altar of Cosby. Yeah. Well, one, they worked at Pie Face. That was
Pie Face.
That was certainly, another one.
There was a deleted scene where Gilbert talked about how much he wanted to go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay. Well, that could still be current.
No,
now.
That was not a scene.
Yeah. All right. So we'll be on the lookout. It'll be fun Easter eggs all season long.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to hear some it'll be some good stuff. I'm excited. Like, oh man, that terrorist situation we have in the Middle East is great. I'm sure no organization will try to kidnap people.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's hope that we don't go that dark. Like nobody will talk about Ebola. Who would ever can catch Ebola these days? There hasn't been a case in years. All right. Damien McCaskill says, Rob, if you were on Celebrity Apprentice, who would be the first person you personally would call to get your biggest donation? Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. Boston Rob?
Yeah. Call Boston Rob. And he'd be like, come on, get out of here. Smarten up.
What are you doing? Building sandcastles?
Yeah. Get out of here. I think I would just have to put out, like, I think maybe I could reach out to the listeners of Rob as a podcast, like, try to get everybody to donate a quarter.
I would say you should do a special patron level for that one day of $10,000 patron.
Yes.
You get to have dinner at my house.
No, they don't need me on Celebrity Apprentice. They don't need me.
You get the Rob Cesternino pie.
Yes. I'm going to call Mike Bloom. Spicy Wasabi X, over under 4 million viewers for the premiere. Let's guess the ratings. Mike, what do you think?
What were the ratings for the premiere last year?
Who knows?
Let me look that up really quick.
Look that up real quick. I think that the ratings, well, what else was on tonight?
Oh, Gallivant.
Gallivant. I think that's a different audience.
Quite different. I watched both, but I'm very abnormal. Was there an NFL game on?
There was an NFL on game today, but the NFL game was over way before the premiere of The Apprentice tonight.
Okay. So let's see. I mean, in terms of dates and everything, this is probably going to be the last day before people come back from their holiday vacations.
Yes. So
that might be a little bit of awkward timing. Let's see. Can I find ratings?
So let's see. On ABC, Resurrection was on and followed by Revenge. On CBS, we had The Good Wife and CSI. On Fox, we're up against the Sunday night comedy block. I mean, nothing that was going to blow it out of the water, I don't think.
Yeah. I would say maybe over 4 million.
I think the over under is 5 million.
Okay, 5 million. I would say
It's over 4 million. I think it's 5.
I would say give me 5.5. I'll go a little bit over 5.
Okay, there you go. All right, so we're both taking over 4 million.
Yeah, we're very optimistic about this. Maybe it's because we're covering this and I want to remain hopeful that this means more seasons of Apprentice, whether it's celebrity or regular or lookalike. But I'm hopeful.
I think the question is going to be, what are the ratings tomorrow?
That's a very good, because it's going to be their normal time slot. And, Monday night's going to have The Bachelor. It'll have Gotham will come back. So we'll see exactly how they do. Because this is the first time they're really going back to during the week since the first couple seasons when they were on Thursdays.
Okay. As for tomorrow night, Mike and I are trying to decide what to do. There was a great turnout tonight, so I'm very much thinking that we should do another live show tomorrow night. What's your take, Mike?
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I'm glad the questions have been pouring in and people have been viewing it. So yeah, I'd say let's keep premiere week going and let's do another live show. We'll have two separate episodes to talk about this time, so it'll be two different tasks. It'll be a lot more of a jam-packed show, but that means twice the fun.
Oh my god. All right, so I was gonna make it, I wanted to hear from people on Twitter whether or not we should do it or not, but I think that we have 200 people watching live right now, and it's after midnight on the East Coast, so I think you guys have spoken. We'll do another live show tomorrow night. I can't promise that we're gonna do it live every week on Monday, but we'll do it again tomorrow night.
As Bill O'Reilly says, F it, we'll do it live.
F it, we'll do it live. I'll give you 10K. There you go, Geraldo. Yeah. Leave me alone. All right, let's do a couple more questions. Bill Simmons, he wants to know, is Ivanka Trump currently the hottest female on reality TV, stunning and smart? Well,
Is she cute or hot?
Ivanka, very attractive woman. Let's leave it at that. We don't need to rank. We don't need, this creepy guy ranking who's the hottest babe on reality TV.
Yeah, hottest among the Trump kids, at least.
Sure, surely. Okay, this is from Rachel, who wants to know, is it a shocker that Kate didn't say once that she was doing this show for the kids?
Well, I mean, she brought up being a mother multiple times, so I'm, you know, you have to assume it's a causality.
She was like, well, I'm cooking here, and this is not unlike what I do every night when I cook for a family of eight.
Yeah, exactly. So I want to see how many times she drops that as the show progresses.
Okay. All right, two more. Red Sox fan, 123. Rob, do you like the types of tasks the show comes up with? How about utilizing a bit more of the skills? Well, I do feel like off the bat, I think they like that sticker shock of you guys raised $278,000. Yeah. Like, they like that. So hopefully all of the rest of the tasks won't be money related.
No, they usually only do like two or three of those. Usually the rest of the time it's okay, you're going to do this creative thing, whether it's a commercial or whether it's like you create a stand for something, or you like turn a restaurant into a promotional thing. And then the sponsor just gives like $25,000 to the winning charity. So if it's like any other typical Celebrity Apprentice seasons, we're not going to see this type of task again for a while.
Do we know what we're doing tomorrow night?
I believe the first task is creating a commercial, and the second one is, let me check. The second one, I forget who the sponsor is, but I think the episode title is called like Nobody Outthinks Donald Trump. So it's first one, teams must create a commercial. Second one, teams must create a presentation for a frozen food product.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, we might see the return of that.
Isn't that what Kevin Jonas did tonight?
What, presentation of a frozen food product? That's true.
Yeah.
Stig Hansen will not burn the crust this time. They'll be pre-made.
Okay. All right. So let's do one last question. Zachary Zarnett Klein. I believe he asked the first question too. Can any of the women win? I think of the women, Vivica has the best chance. All right. Did we pick winners on the preview show?
I don't think we did. I think we talked about like who might go far, but
did you want to talk about Winner's Edit tonight?
I was going to say the word of the past 6 months has been Winner's Edit. You can't say this show has a Winner's Edit. It's like saying a county fair has a Winner's Edit, considering that like someone picks something. I would say there's an end game edit. Like they'll edit people to show how they went far. I feel like Kevin Jonas has that. I would feel like someone like Lisa Gibbons has that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of like some other ones.
Gilbert, maybe. I thought was I think he's going far.
Gilbert might go far. I feel like Geraldo may do well in terms of like the Piers Morgan, Joan Rivers type of like kind of villain steamroller type of character.
Ian, I think came off good in night one.
Yeah, he came off fairly well. You know, he just needs to keep peppering in 90210 references, and that'll keep keep Ivanka
mad at the peach pit. Yeah.
Exactly. Before we know it, Shannon Doherty would start working next to him.
Okay. All right, Mike, we need a hashtag for this episode of Celebrity Apprentice Recap.
Should we do hashtag Cosby Bomb?
No, we should Cosby. Not. No, leave the Cosby thing alone on the.
Let's see. Now I'm trying to think. I had so many Cosby ones and now they're all gone.
Yes. Let's see. Chat room, you're in on this also. Let's see, we could go with something related to the taco pie again. That could be tricky on Twitter.
Is Gone with the Wind fabulous too long?
that's probably too long. I think we gotta
make that catchphrase viral.
We gotta make that happen.
Oh, how about get a Kleenex.
Get a Kleenex. All right, good, good. Well, well done.
Get some Kleenex.
Get some Kleenex.
Yeah, let's go with that. All right, so that's what we will do for our hashtag, and then we'll be back live again. Can you believe we're podcasting about 4 hours of Celebrity Apprentice in like a 26-hour period?
I was going to say, if all works out, you guys will be able to play the recorded version, sync it up perfectly with the show. So we'll be able to comment on it.
That would be perfect. Will you be watching the Today Show before tomorrow's podcast?
I'll wake up and the first thing I'll tune into is to see Keisha Napoleon walk off of the Today Show.
I'm going to DVR it. Going to record
that. K-Fox will be crying in the corner.
All right. So that's all very good. Mike, great job tonight on the first Celebrity Apprentice recap.
Thanks. I'm thrilled to be aboard. Thanks to everyone for showing up. I'm excited.
And
to
staying up late.
Yeah, for staying up late. Thanks for coming to our sleepover, guys.
Yeah.
wipe the taco pie off your glasses.
Well done. And tomorrow night should be a little more manageable. The episode starts at 8 and goes from 8 to 10. So we'll be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern. So won't be quite as late of a night as this one was.
Yeah, but this is still a lot of fun.
Still a lot of fun. All right. So great job with that. Our next podcast will be tomorrow night live. If you missed it, also, we'll be going head to head with another one of our shows that we're covering here on Rob Has a Website. The Bachelor also makes its premiere tomorrow night. So if you want to see what goes on with Bachelor Chris and follow that podcast, Haley Strong and Amy are the hosts of the Bachelor Rehap Up show, which is on our Reality TV Rehap Ups podcast. Which is the podcast of the shows that I'm not covering on robhasawebsite.com. And we have a bunch of stuff coming up this week on Reality TV Rehap Ups. I did a preview of The Bachelor. I drafted teams of the 30 women competing for the heart of Bachelor Chris. You could hear that as well on robhasawebsite.com. And then lots of stuff coming up, including I will be talking with Tyson this weekend about his new show, which is premiering on the Wii Network Marriage Boot Camp.
Oh my goodness! I'll have to DVR that, or at least edit in the Tyson and Rachel stuff.
Yeah. So who knows? Tyson and Rachel could be on the next season of Celebrity Apprentice.
As a pair, or would they be separated?
I don't know.
I think blood versus water thing. They'd get rid of Rachel to weaken Tyson again.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows how that would go? All right. Anyway, thank you guys so much for showing up tonight and listening to the show. Make sure you subscribe to Rob's podcast, robswebsite.com/iTunes. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye. Now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great-tasting, wholesome snacks. Forget the vending machine. Start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP.